Join Kenneth Copeland and special guest Charles Capps for a rebroadcast special of the Believer's Voice of Victory. Learn how the words of your confession set the boundaries for your life and your future.
Hello, everybody. Friday's edition of the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Those of you that were with us all last week and have been with us Monday through Thursday of this week, oh, praise God. If you're anything like me, they haven't appealed you off the ceiling, brother. Praise God. The Word is so rich, and when an anointing like is in the life and on the life of Charles Capps gets involved, I'll tell you what, it just is so fine, the Word of God. Charles, all of the divine possibilities, all of a sudden come jumping into your life and in your spirit, and they no longer seem like they're way off out there anymore. Oh. You begin to see them inside you, saying, bless God, that's mine. I'm going to have that. I heard Jerry Savelle say this one time. He said he got to meditating on the Word, and he got to reading that, and he thought, now, wait a minute. This is true. If that's true, how does this change my situation? And he began to apply that as if it had already manifest. Mm-hmm. And it got in his mouth, and it got inside of it, and he said, my Lord, this is already mine, man. And he said, it just come jumping in there instead of seeming like it was way off out there somewhere.
Right.
And then these times that we're living in, this is where we got to walk.
That's it.
We ain't got a whole lot of years out there in front, I don't believe. Like Gloria said, well, I don't care, it's your last days, whichever way you look. So you better get busy. And so, amen. Father, we thank you for your Word today, and we give you praise and honor for the ministry of Charles Capps, and we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to talk about calling things that are not,
yes,
as
sir.
Though they were. Now, some people think I'm a fanatic. Some of you may think I'm a fanatic on words, but I'm just doing what I know is the principle of the Bible. This is a principle throughout the Bible. You see God calling things that are not. That's what prophets do.
They call things
that are not. And God always says it before he does it. And in the Garden of Eden, God created man in his own image and his likeness, said, let them have dominion. Well, how are they going to have dominion? Same way that he had dominion when he looked out and saw darkness, said, light be.
They're in his image.
He called what he didn't have, what wasn't there. He called light out of darkness.
My.
Somebody said, how can you do that? By faith.
Yes, sir.
Faith-filled words. God used his words as containers to transport his faith out there into the darkness and cause light out of darkness.
You know, Charles, it dawned on me. I was preaching in Los Angeles for Art Aragon.
Yeah,
and I had just a couple of days before had a terrible, terrible thing happen in my back. I was in a lot of pain. And I'd put my confession to work, and I was believing God. My mouth is working. My back ain't working, but my mouth is working. And I was having to just get a hold of my mouth to keep the other stuff from coming out. But I'm gaining on it, you know. And now I'm out there in this situation where I got to go preach. And I just heard Brother Hagin's message. Men and women are saved by hearing and speaking words.
That's right.
It just rose up in me like a giant. And so, of course, that's what I preached on that art. And I didn't mention it to them later, but I was preaching me. I was hearing this with my own ears, and it was building on the inside of me and working, and that thing came to pass, and in the name of Jesus, it rebuilt my entire backbone structure. And that didn't do it in a day or two, but it did it. I'm telling you, I got the MRIs to prove it. I have no more disease in my bones. I have the disc that blew out have been replaced. That thing that was pressing against that nerve is gone. But I didn't wait and say, well, when that all leaves, I'll start saying that. I was saying it when I was hurting so bad as it felt like my eyes were going crawling. I heard it in my spirit. Men and women saved by hearing and speaking words.
That's it.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah.
From Genesis to Revelation.
It's calling things or not. That's the way a person's born again. They call themselves. The scripture says, "Thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus." Well, when a sinner says that Jesus is his Lord, it wasn't true when he said that. But because he said it, it becomes true. He calls it. It's just everywhere when you go.
Now, for a Baptist preacher to come up and say, "I don't believe in that." Oh, yes, you do. You just haven't applied it any. But it's. We live in a word-created, word-controlled environment. You can't change that. You can change your words, but you can't change that, can you?
No. We live under a word system on this planet, and if you don't get acquainted with how that word system works, you know, there's little jingles. Sticks and stones may break your bones. They used to sing in a children's service, you know, back years ago. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Words will kill you if you don't know what you're doing with them.
Yeah, they
will. I mean, you know, I've heard people say things that actually cause their death. Well, Elvis Presley, for one, you know, he said he'd never live a day older than his mother lived, and he set spiritual law in motion that you can have what you say. You believe and doubt not in your heart. He said it long enough that he believed it, and he lived out the reality of it.
He did.
Abraham Lincoln said, "When this war is over, I shall die." If he'd have said, "When this war is over, I shall live long life and see this nation be the greatest nation on earth," he'd have felt led to stay at home and read his Bible instead of go to the Ford Theater where assassins shot him.
Yes, sir, that's
and
right.
Killed him the very day the war was over. He set spiritual law in motion. But he didn't know that. This word wasn't out there then. I mean, the people weren't preaching it. But I'm telling you, this word will deliver you from the powers of darkness I better get started.
Well, I know you just like me. It's so big you can't get it all out of your mouth. Praise the Lord.
Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, verse 13, "We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believe and therefore I have spoken." And then he says, "We also believe and therefore speak." Now, he's quoting Psalms.
Yes, sir.
116 verses 8 and 10, where the psalmist said, "I believe and therefore I speak." And you go on and read some things the psalmist spoke. He said, "I'll live and not die and do the work declare the works of God." And you get into the Psalms and you find some declarations of calling things that are not. It looked like he said, "They've surrounded me, the enemies surround me, but I'll destroy them. I'll destroy them." He says that over and over and over in the Psalms. And he did.
Yes, he did.
Then you, while we're on that, you see where David and Goliath, he showed up at Goliath. You know, they sent David out there to see how the battle's going. They get out there and there's no battle going on. They're all watching television. Watching that giant come out and tell his vision every morning, every night. And David said, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" Now, if you don't believe in faith and confession, here's a 17-year-old shepherd boy that has learned the power of words. Uh-huh. And he says, "I'll go fight this uncircumcised Philistine." And he said five times before he did it what he was going to do. He said, "I'll take your head off your shoulders. I'll feed your carcass to the fowls of the air." And I mean, pretty big boast, wasn't it? But them words are preceding him. The words we speak in faith based on the authority of the Word of God go to the future, but get there before we do and prepare
the way for us. Absolutely.
And I mean, you can put them out there, and he did it. He put it up against that giant, And he went out there and did exactly what he said. He got five smooth stones out of the brook. Somebody said, what's the five smooth stones represent? The fivefold ministry.
Yes, he did.
And he ran toward the giant. But he said it five times before he did it.
You know, now the devil tried to put that principle into operation with Goliath. Goliath shot his mouth off. Who am mm-hmm. I? Am I a dog that you send this runt out in front of me? That's the last word he ever said in his mouth. He blinked one time and died in the dark. I guarantee you. Woo! Charles,
so
we may have to just wait and praise God in a minute, man. Glory be to God.
So he is quoting the psalmist when he said, we having the same spirit of faith, according to as written, I believed and therefore have I spoken. That's why David said what he did. He believed and he spoke it.
Yes, he did.
And those words changed events all for history or for the history of the world. We also believe and therefore speak. In other words, Paul said, I do the same thing. I believe and therefore speak. Now come down to verse 17. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory, while, and I'll add only while, we look not at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. Now, the problem is most people say, well, you just got to say it like it is. This is the way I see it. You were talking about that before the broadcast. They'll say, well, this is the way I see it, and you got to say it like it is. Now, that's the way it is to me. Yeah, that's the way it is, but how are you going to change it? What changes it? Call things that are not there as though they were there until they are there by Bible principle. Not just, you know, making up something. It has to be based on the authority of the Word.
Yes,
and you see it in all of Jesus' ministry. He walked up to the little woman one day. She'd all crippled, bent over, couldn't lift herself up. And he said, woman, you're loosed from your infirmity. She wasn't a bit better, just crippled as she ever was. What's he doing? Calling things that are not. She probably didn't believe in the spoken word. She probably said, if he ever lays hands on me, I'll get healed. And he touched her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. But notice he called what was going to happen first. What did it say here? We having the same spirit of faith, according as written, I believed and therefore have I spoken.
Praise God, man.
If you believe it, you're going to say it. Oh, I wouldn't say that, Brother Caps, because it might not happen. Don't worry, it won't. There's no faith there. No faith there.
Not a problem in the world. You ain't going to get it.
And there's two things to confession. Is that the confessing of the Word, when you first start confessing the Word, you may not believe it. It's true in you. You know it's true because it's in the Bible. Mm-hmm. I was that way.
Mm-hmm. I was
but
too.
I stopped and told the Lord one day, I said, Lord, you know I feel like I'm lying saying all this stuff. I have abundance and no lack, look like I couldn't borrow enough money to farm another year. And he said, son, how could you lie saying what I said? Woo, that's like saying, sick them to a bulldog.
That turns it around.
Oh, yeah. And so I called abundance when there was lack everywhere I looked. And I remember the day that it got inside me and the reality of it, I saw it. I went to the house one day and I told Peggy, I said, I feel rich, but my bank book don't show it.
That happened to me. All of a sudden, I read that over and over and over again, that the blessing of Abraham has come on the Gentile, through Christ Jesus. Well, I had gone over here to find out about Abraham. And the more I read, the more I thought, dear Lord, look at this. You mean this has come on me? And I got over there and I kept reading that and I started saying, the blessing of Abraham has come. And I mean, all of a sudden it wrote. And I tell you, I was in debt. Now, my income the year before was below the poverty level of the United States. It was a mess. And Charles, I got rich on the inside of me, and it flipped over inside me, and I had a car that brought $225 when I sold it. but it changed on the inside. All of a sudden, the blessing is on me, the blessing of Abraham, and he is a rich man. And it happened inside me. And it was so real to me. I didn't know I didn't have any money, but I knew it was mine, and
that's
I knew it was coming.
That's what happens when you become fully persuaded.
Yeah.
And the thing that was not brought to naught the thing that was.
It changed.
Yeah.
It changed it forever. And from that day forward, I never, ever believed I was a poor man again. It took 11 months for that debt to be taken up. Mm-hmm. It took 18 months before things really began to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I didn't change anything. From that moment on, I was never a poor man again.
That's the reason I told the coondog story on the other broadcast about the guy said the coondog so fast he got there before the coon did, just sit down and wait, and he'd be long there to buy.
Yeah.
Some people think God's late, but they got there early, see? And you got to persevere with this, and you got to keep it up. It takes time to develop it. And one of the missing links in the faith connection, Brother Copeland, is that people think, I'm just going to start saying it, and it's going to happen in a few days. No, you have to train yourself to believe what you're saying. You got to confess that word till it gets on the inside of you. Romans, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 10, the word is nigh you. It's as close to you, in other words, as getting it in your mouth and speaking it in your heart.
Yes, it is.
Now, that's the St. Charles translation, but that's what he said.
That's exactly what he said.
It's in your mouth and in your heart. Now, compare that with the parable of Jesus. He said, the sower soweth the word of God. So when I'm confessing the word, I'm sowing the word of God. I have given; it's given unto me. I'm confessing Jesus 6:38. By confessing that word long enough, you become fully persuaded. But it doesn't happen overnight. Some of you have been wondering, how long does it take? Just stay with it until it works. It never occurred to me it might not work. Now listen to what the Apostle Paul says here. While we look not at things that are seen, but at things that are not seen. How do you look at things that are unseen? By confessing what God says is true. This word is truth. And he's given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. If you had faith as a seed, you would say, and the sycamine tree would obey you, the mountain would obey you, the mountain of debt, call it down, call it the debt paid,
yes, sir,
instead of building the mountain.
Yes, sir.
And the people that say, I wouldn't talk to the mountain, they're talking to it every day, but they said, dear God, we'll never get over this mountain of debt. We'll be in debt the rest of their life. And they'll make decisions, be led to make decisions to cause that to come to pass. But I tell you, I learned to talk to that mountain, and it evaporated over a period of time.
Yes.
But it wouldn't happen overnight.
Now, Charles, when that started, I didn't know anything how to live except in debt. That's all I had ever been exposed to. Now, over a period of years, the just shall live by faith.
Yeah.
But I had to learn a new way to live. I didn't know these principles when I started this. I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
But little bit by little bit. Oh, so that's the way you do it. Oh, yeah, I see that. Now I've got 41 years of experience. Mm-hmm. I don't know it all, but my bills are paid. And we have to learn a new way of life, and God is teaching you and training you, and it's building on the inside of you, and things that fouled you up last year don't foul you up this year, and you're learning more as you go until this new way of life becomes your way of life.
That's it.
And when it does, man, what a sweet way to live.
Now, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 1, he said, the invisible things of God from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made. Now, the invisible things of God are clearly seen. It sounds like a paradox, doesn't it? But they're understood by things that are made. Now, let's take an illustration of things that we know about things that are made. There's a thermostat in this room. Now, that thermostat, there's two things in that thermostat. There's a thermometer that's for one purpose and one purpose only. That's to tell you how it is right now. but it changes by every wind that blows. But that thermostat can change what is. And we have a lot of thermometer Christians. They can tell you how it is, but they keep saying how it is. You can hang a thermometer on your wall and see if it changes the temperature. No, as long as you call it like it is, it's going to stay like it is. But a thermostat can change what is. We need to be thermostat Christians.
Yeah,
we take
amen.
The Word of God and we call for it. When you turn that thermostat to 70 degrees and there's 30 degrees in the room, you've created a problem for the heart of that unit. And it's sitting out on the building or down by the side, and the substance is there all the time. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. And that unit, it sends an impulse through that wire out there and said, send some heat in here, we're cold. And that unit comes on instantly and will work day and night until it's performed. Now, from the parable of the sower, Jesus is telling you this so you can see how the kingdom of God works. Kingdom of God is if a man casts a seed into the ground.
Right.
Sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, and he knoweth not how. You don't know how it's working, but he said it works. So if you can understand how to plant a garden, you can understand how to operate in the principles of the kingdom. Now, that heating unit is where the substance is. The substance of faith is in the heart. It won't work in the head. It's in the heart.
That's right.
And it's in your mouth and in your heart. You've got to get this word down here before it's going to produce anything. And then it's planted there, and your heart, I guess you'd call it the spirit, says find a way to cause this to come to pass, because that seed is planted. And it will search the avenues of God's wisdom day and night. While you're asleep, your spirit never sleeps.
That's right.
And finding a way to cause to come to pass what you have confessed based on the authority of the Word of God. It works just like that thermostat system that heats and cools this
building. Now, if it's 30 in here and you put 30 on that thing, and nothing going to happen.
Yeah.
It thinks that's what you want.
Yeah.
But you put 70 on there and something's going to go to work.
That's what this.
So you're calling the temperature in here 70 degrees. Mm-hmm. And if you just stay with it, it'll get to be 70 degrees. I love that, man. Now, I remember you talking about that the first time I ever heard it. And you said an old farm boy went out and bought him a thermostat and took it in there and hung it on his wall and said, now then, let's warm this room up. No, that didn't do anything.
Wasn't hooked to anything. The head's not hooked to anything until you get the word in your heart. It's not working in the heart.
I can just see it. You know, I was really thinking about some of my kin folks. I won't mention which one. But he got his overalls on. He went in there and hung that thermostat up on that wall and said, now then, just get hot in here. My dad, we're out of time, but I got time to tell you. My dad got one of the first car air conditioners in anywhere around where we lived out there in Abilene. And so he picked a guy up out on the edge of the road, and the guy had part off of his car in his hand. He was driving an old Chevrolet, and he's standing out there. My dad picked him up. He got in there and sat down. Most people would say something about the cool air. He didn't say a word. Got to town, he said, I'm going to tell these fools around here, if you roll them windows up, it's a whole lot cooler than it is. Shut the door and left. My daddy lays out. I could just see him in that old Chevrolet trying to get her to cool off. Oh, Brother Charles, and I'll be back in just a moment.
I'm telling you, the Word works. Speak it into adversities, it will turn around.
And I mean, we are praying, name of Jesus, wielding bunch of believers that'll carry out what God's called us to do in the earth.
Jump into faith, hope, and love at the 2008 Great Lakes Believers Convention, August 18th to the 23rd at the U.S. Cellular Arena in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, Creflo Dollar, Keith Moore, and Bill Winston for 6 days of soaking in God's Word. Experience the presence of God in worship and immerse yourself in God's Word as it changes you forever. Super Kid Academy will also be in session for children ages 6 through 12. To find out more, call 800-600-7395 or visit kcm.org.
Friday, according to God's instructions to us a number of years ago, is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. Now, let me say something about this in relation to what we've been talking about here for 2 weeks. Let him that's taught in the Word communicate or reciprocate unto him that teaches in all good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, God has designed the offering not because he wants to take away from us what we have. He's designed a way for us to respond even when we don't have anything much. And, I mean, Charles, I remember when I first got a hold of this, man, I was so eager. I didn't have any money. And I pulled a button off my shirt or something to respond. And it pulled faith out of me. And I had, of course, my spiritual father's Oral Roberts, and he would say things like that. This seed faith, this giving. It's God's way of giving us a way to respond and stir your faith up in what you've just heard so that it gives it a chance to root and grow. That's right. What this is all about. Father, I pray over this offering in the name of Jesus. I receive it by faith. I'm asking you to reveal to your people what you would have them do, to energize their faith and strengthen them. And together we sow and we receive and we open the door for harvest. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, those of you outside the United States, your offering doesn't come here. It stays in the area and you're part of the world to minister to you there. Praise God. Charles, God bless you, man. Give Peggy our love when you get home today. And it's a good thing. We've got a good thing going in 2008. It's a powerful time.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. Don't you forget this. Jesus is the Lord.
This is the year of fullness of blessing. If you'd like more information on Kenneth Copeland Ministries or today's Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, visit our website at kcm.org or call 800-575-4455.
Have you ever met you? I want you to join me for 2 weeks right here on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm going to take the time to introduce you to you. I'm going to tell you who the Word says you are and bring definition to your life, not according to your past, but according to who you are in Christ.
Be sure to mark your calendars for these special broadcasts.